I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
How are you?
Which character am I with today?
Harry Fontini.
Like a godfather?
Harry Fontini.
You're doing one of these. You're freaking me out.
Why?
Because I never know what like energy to come at you with.
I don't know.
I'm really never sure.
I'm defending myself from
who
you.
I'm gonna get.
Namaste. Namaste. Witred. Perfect. That's it. We have the intro song.
Sure.
Done.
Hi everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Sheena Interrupted.
I'm Harry Fontini.
I'm not sure what's happening, as you've come to understand, is pretty normal around here. I come with a plan and Harry Fontini comes here to...
You had no plan.
I did have a plan.
I can see you have no plan.
No one's going to be able to hear you. You were just complaining to me.
I have no plan.
You were just complaining
to
me.
I'm Harry Fontini.
About how terrible the sound
was. The microphone was so high, so I created a character that cannot speak. But did you fix the microphone?
Yes, I did fix the microphone.
I can speak normal.
You are.
I can sit normal.
Yes, you can sit normal. You could speak normally. You could, whatever it is that's happening right now, you could just stop it right
now. I like Harry Fontini.
I'm not sure I like
him. I want to keep a record of all these people that show up when it's time to do an episode.
How come you stopped telling everybody that this was the number one episode that they're listening to right now?
No, you said it wrong.
What are the words?
Welcome back to the number one podcast you're listening to right now.
Oh,
not
podcast.
Episode.
Got it.
Who
got
cares
it.
About the episode?
Everybody cares
the
about the
podcast. That
you know,
they
everyone
care about.
Really loved your last week's episode.
Harry Fontini.
Nope.
Which one?
The one that you did for my birthday.
They love it when I give the children chocolate to speak their words.
Yeah.
They like that.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of positive reinforcement goes a long way.
Yes, it's true.
Oh.
Yes.
I should have given you chocolate yesterday.
Why?
Positive reinforcement.
For what?
Can't
so,
say.
Stop it.
You're blushing.
Stop. Stop making me uncomfortable. I will.
Yeah.
Stop making me uncomfortable.
There you go.
We haven't been together.
I'm looking at my screen and there's a painting on the wall of a little home.
Oh, you saw my home.
What is that?
We're
Why is there a drawing of a home on the wall?
Because we're painting the studio. You know
one
how I say
cartoon
sometimes,
character at a time?
No, you know how I say that every week I want to just be 1% better?
Oh, so this room, this is you painted at 1%?
No, I'm testing out paint samples.
99 more days, the room will be done, folks.
So I have different colors on the wall. And then I painted that one because I needed to see it on the brown.
Yeah,
and then I realized that it would be in your shot. So I just gave you a little something fun to look at. We definitely need to upgrade this production.
Yeah.
And we're working on it.
We have microphones.
We do.
They're nude, but at least we have microphones.
I know. I've been looking for those microphone diapers.
Have you really?
Yes.
Why?
Because we need microphone diapers.
Everyone knows what they're watching.
Which is?
Sheena Interrupted. I can say it. You can't.
Oh.
I'm your host. Harry Fontini. Imagine other podcasts are like, hey, can I get Harry Fontini on my show?
You think they'd hire you after listening to this?
Harry Fontini would be booked solid if Harry Fontini went to do other podcasts.
Yeah, but do you think after hearing this that they
Harry would... Fontini doesn't travel. But if you want me on Zoom, let me know.
You know you're not.
I will walk out.
Actually.
Bring my walker. I'm leaving. Charge my chair.
I don't like it when you don't have a plan.
Oh, okay.
What?
I see what you're sending.
It's hot.
I see what you're dropping.
My zipper?
Zipper.
Of my top?
Is this what happens? You go to New York for a few days, you come back like this, playing with zippers?
So we haven't been together for...
We're in a long distance relationship. We've already explained this to the people. So we finally got a chance to be together.
It really does. It really feels like we're in a long distance relationship.
We haven't been together...
For more than like 5 days in a
row. We've been apart in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We've been apart for 4 of them.
Yeah.
I've explained to you...
Yeah. I actually like I brought I'm you starting a gift.
I brought you chocolate.
I'm starting to believe you that we're in a long distance.
You're leaving again.
I am leaving
next week. So,
like in a day, in 24 hours, I'm leaving.
When you're gone,
yeah,
you're gone for half the week.
Yeah,
so it'll be week you use 7.
You use these things like
yeah,
just
rounding,
rounding to just heighten your like to exaggerate
for
your
everyone,
point
for our benefit because we equally share in the benefit of the outcome of this podcast.
Okay.
You want to say, oh, I'm going for 2 days, I'll be back? Go ahead. Go ahead, tell them. Tell them the whole thing's a sham.
It's not a sham.
She's just going to I go to work. That's what it is. We're in a long distance relationship because I travel to the city to go to the office. And sometimes she falls asleep before I get home. Sorry we created this whole thing. There, it's out.
No, I'm actually...
I'm never coming back to the show.
I'm actually leaving the state.
On a jet plane?
Yeah, I'm leaving on a jet
plane. Do you know when you'll be back again?
I don't.
So then it's long distance. But, like things change. Okay, I come home, my Peloton's moved. There's a new mirror there. You've thrown my things on the side of the road practically, on the side of the room.
I did not put anything on the road.
When I left,
yeah.
There was a bike
yeah.
in the corner.
Yeah.
I sat there. I pretended I was pedaling very far even though I didn't move.
Okay.
I came home.
I moved it like 6 inches.
You moved it?
Okay, maybe
in
not.
In a way that the plug
inches?
Didn't even fit anymore. you just abandoned the bicycle on the side. You put half of it on the carpet, half on the floor. So if I pedaled Tato like this, I started pedaling. I thought I was going to fall off a stationary bike. You didn't even notice you did that because you don't ride. But people don't
notice.
Ride like this sideways on their Pelotons.
I didn't notice.
You know I have sciatica? I'm going to be like Harry Fondini. I'm going to be in an electric thing to move around. So I had to move the bike to another stable location.
That was a terrible location.
It was not even... You broke my Wi-Fi. I don't know what you did. I turned it on. The bike thought it was in Singapore. It was so confused. Now I know why. I just figured it out.
Why?
Because it was riding crooked. The whole thing got confused. And then you're saying it's a horrible location because I put it...
You put it in front of my mirror.
You have 3 mirrors in the room. There's
it's
one
irrelevant.
Of you. All your personalities don't need their own mirrors. You have one in the corner, you use
do.
It. Every time I leave, I come home, something has changed.
Yes.
My Peloton moved.
Yeah.
It was speaking in a different language. It painted over the house.
Yeah.
So that's what people do in long distance relationships. You come back, you're like, oh, I like your place. What if, oh, new sofa. Very nice. That's what I'm doing. Then you're leaving, you'll come back and you'll be like, oh, wow, this is really nice. What's different? I'll be like, oh, your mirror. I put it in the basement. I put my Peloton back in the corner.
Are you going to do
of
that?
Of course. It's so much easier to move the mirror than the Peloton.
Do you have plans to make any changes?
I just told you my one plan.
Oh, to throw my mirror downstairs?
No, I'm not throwing it. It's so expensive. I saw the receipt. I'm carrying it carefully. I might even wear gloves.
Are you really going to... Don't do that.
What?
Don't put my mirror downstairs.
Why?
Because I like it where it is.
Okay, so then I'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Then you leave my bike where it is.
I think I want to bring the bike downstairs.
Okay, bring it.
Okay. Can you help me?
No. You don't even live here. You're that guest that shows up and redecorates the people's house and then leaves. I hate those guests. They come, oh, you know what you need? You need to put this here. I'm like, okay, thank you. Appreciate your, yeah, please.
That's me?
Submit your feedback form and put it in
that
box.
That's me.
Huh?
You're saying that's me.
Yeah.
You
this
spent,
week.
You spent 3 weeks in a different country.
Yeah, that's why I didn't give you anything feedback on what to do with your house.
Okay.
I had so many things to say.
Okay, like what?
Like, I can't believe these people live like this.
I did so much when you were gone.
What did you do?
I cleaned out the closet.
Your closet? I can't tell. I don't know the difference.
Oh, I cleaned out some of your stuff too.
That I maybe should know, but I didn't notice. So that's good. You did well.
I cleaned out the art room. Did you hear about my September challenge?
Yeah, where you're just throwing away things you should have never bought in the first place.
No, that's not true. That's not what my September challenge is.
NWT.
NWT. What is that?
New with tags. There are definitely some NWTs that got chucked out.
I didn't donate those. I actually gave those to my mom. I didn't throw them out. I didn't donate them.
It doesn't change the fact that you bought something and never used it. Doesn't matter what you gave it
to. But sometimes I didn't buy them. They were gifted to me.
Oh, like that.
And they didn't fit. Like that. I don't think I don't think that I bought anything and left it on with the tags. I think I was gifted it and then they didn't fit me or wasn't my style. And so I kept it for somebody that I thought would use it.
I definitely have stuff I've bought that I've never worn.
Really?
Yeah. Like get excited. You go into a shop. It's like 20% off if you buy one.
Yeah.
40% off if you buy two. Yeah. 60% off if you buy three.
And then you buy three.
And I'm like, I'll buy six and you pay me $12. And they're like, I don't think I can do that. I said, okay, well then give me this one for free. And they're like, fine, sir, just take it. Math confuses people.
You've done that?
Yeah. Remember those? That's why I have those orange and red pants that I've never worn.
I thought that's why you had those shiny black pants from like 1992.
No. Because they were free. I wore those from 92 to 98 almost every weekend. Those are not new with tags at all. Those are amazing.
Did you really wear them every single weekend?
Are we talking about the same pants? The Versace pants? There's still murals about those pants in Montreal.
Really?
Yeah.
You wore them to work like, these every are amazing. Weekend?
Not to work. What are you talking about, bro? Back in the day, we were partying in the clubs. I wore them to the clubs. They're amazing. They're shiny. If someone drops something on you, you could wipe them. They're amazing.
Okay. And you still want to hold on to them.
I'm keeping those because they're going to go in a museum one day. Actually, I'm keeping them because I think our kid's going to be able to fit in them soon enough.
I don't think he's going to think they're cool.
Where are you going to get
shiny 30-year-old
Versace pants? Like people, you go into some sort of a... Like
thrift shop like, situation.
Not thrift.
Vintage.
You go into a vintage shop, people pay $600, $700, $800 for these.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I'm not getting rid of them is because I think some of these pieces we have, you just can't get them anywhere in the world. So might as well give our kids the chance to try it. And if they don't want it, then I'll put it up somewhere, I guess. Yeah. I won't wear it again because I don't think it'll fit me again. But for imagine Jay and Zara, they have these things that we have that we've kept for this whole time.
Yeah.
I never had...
Anybody give you
anything like that from any of my parents? You know, probably have from your mom, like maybe jewelry. I do have a couple of
tops some jewelry from my mom. But actually, I was thinking about this a few weeks ago. My grandmother had this extensive collection of sunglasses.
Yeah.
And I wasn't into sunglasses back when we were going through her stuff after she passed. And they took out all of the sunglasses. They took out all these accessories. They took out some of her clothes. There were bell bottoms in there. There were aviators in there. And I just said, no, I don't want them. I don't want them. And I was too young to realize. And nobody said we should hold on to these.
Yeah.
And then maybe 4 or 5 years later was when I hit that point in my life where I was like, why didn't we keep those things? And now even more, I wish I had, you know, her vintage.
Yeah. And think about it.
Sunglasses and jewelry pieces.
Yeah. And it's so much more than something vintage that you bought in the store.
Oh, yeah, because like, it belonged to somebody that you were very, very close to.
So that's why I'm keeping my pants.
You know what I ended up keeping of hers? I ended up keeping this tiny little fountain pen because I thought it was cool.
The one she stabbed the man in the park with?
No.
Oh, that's why they hid that for so long. It was a weapon.
It was this small little, must have been like 2 inches high. It had a screw on top and it was a fountain pen. And every time I tried to use it, I got ink all over my hands. And then I put it somewhere and I don't actually know what happened with it. I lost that fountain pen. But that's the only thing I kept of hers when we cleaned out her closet.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of devastated that we didn't think about holding on to other things.
It's okay if you keep stuff. It's also okay if you let it go.
Yeah.
So there's no need to be devastated.
Can I tell you guys on a different, like a completely separate but also funny note, something that we found after my grandfather passed?
Oh. Can I tell that one? We didn't know what to do. We're very confused. He lived a really good life.
Yeah.
A healthy life.
Yeah.
He's the healthiest.
He was definitely the healthiest 93-year-old.
Person of that age.
Yeah.
But he did yoga every day. He would spend an hour on weekends if he had access to a hot tub.
Do you know what he used to do?
Yeah, hot tub, sauna, oil.
He would give himself one of those like hammam massages where he would like peel off all of his dead skin. If you actually touched his arm, it was so soft. And then he would peel off the skin and then he would put oil all over that same skin, like baby oil, Johnson's baby oil. Yeah. If
very,
you actually sat
healthy.
In the tub after my grandfather had
you'd
been there,
slip in.
You'd fall from
three people over. Drowned in his tub growing up from baby oil.
It was so slick.
And then the minute you got out, you get smacked in the face with perfume. He would take care of himself, the right things. In a way that is reflective of Indian culture and is, I think, growing still on the West, but in his own way. He had yoga, he would eat and drink the right things and not really let this thought of like, oh, okay, I'm older now. Like he would walk everywhere. Yeah. I still remember when he came to visit us here.
Yeah.
Our home has our main bedroom is on the main floor and all the other rooms are upstairs.
Upstairs, yeah.
And
we told him to take our room.
And he wasn't, you know, it was like 80 something at that time. We said, look, and it's hard for you to go up the stairs. Yeah. You take our bedroom and we'll
he
go upstairs.
Mad
and
he was like, at us. So mad. He was so offended. He's like, are you crazy? I'm going up and down
these
stairs.
I'm
good
going
for
up,
me.
Yeah. I thought he was like, are you crazy? Like, I'm not in need of anything. Like, it's such a matter of pride for him.
Yeah.
How did we get here? Okay.
You were telling
the
story
so
of what we found.
For another episode.
Yes.
We can share his last serious request of us. Maybe this is the right episode to share that request.
Today's episode is all about my grandfather and his craziness.
So he was in the hospital.
Wait, tell the story about what we found.
Well, first let's go back to when he was in the hospital.
Okay.
I forget what triggered the...
He fell.
Yeah, yeah, he fell.
He fell, so he was 93 years old.
Johnson & Johnson baby oil.
No, he
finally
fell
got
like
him in the tub.
No.
He slipped. No. He did not slip, I'm joking.
He fell in the hall and he broke his hip.
His hip, yeah.
And he had to be rushed to the hospital and he had to have hip surgery at 93 years old.
Yeah, so that's always a challenge.
Yeah.
So we were in Boston
when
this happened. This happened in Montreal.
Yeah.
We went back to Montreal and
the whole family got together. It was like a really, really nice.
We didn't know, right?
Yeah.
Like it was
we had no
scary.
Idea.
You didn't know what would happen if he would come out of the surgery. He had to have the surgery, but to do the surgery, you need anesthesia at that age.
So we all got together, like anybody who could, the grandkids, the parents, the siblings, everybody came together. As many of us as we could, we got together and we were all in that hospital with him.
So the hospital, you know, has a room. So he had a room, and like many hospitals, maybe it was a double room, but it was only him in the room and they have that curtain right for privacy. So he was, you know, he was awake and everything. He was laying down and he was saying, I want to talk to you. So he said, okay. So he says, but alone. So we say, okay. And he says, okay, everyone else go. So now go means what? You just like put this paper curtain around and everyone's literally standing.
No, he thought everybody left.
Yeah, he thought everyone
room.
Left, but they all just, we because just put a curtain
so,
like with kids. We're like,
everyone was so curious as to what this big conversation was that he had to have with us.
And this was like, again, what, 5-6 years ago now?
Yeah.
So, you know, we had probably a 4 and a 7-year-old at the time.
Yeah.
And he says, you have to have another boy.
First he said, you have to have another baby.
Yeah, you have to have another baby.
Yes.
And we said, okay, why? He goes,
because that's
the
perfect unit.
It's the perfect. You need 2 boys and a girl.
Yes.
And we already had the elder boy, and the girl has to be in the middle.
Yeah.
Like
That's his ideal family.
That was his family, right? He had son, daughter, son.
Yes.
And Yeah. So for us, we're like, we had son, daughter.
And he said, you absolutely like, you have could to have this.
You could do this. And I'm like, no, before, yeah, we had two.
Yeah.
He said, we can have three.
Yeah.
And we said, wait, but what about Amit, Sheena's brother?
Yeah.
He also had two.
Yeah.
He goes, no, he already messed up. And we're like, I don't know what that means, but okay. What about your cousin?
Yeah.
He's like, no, she also messed up. And we're like, wait, all these people have one or two kids. Like, what? We only have two kids. What's going on? What did they mess up?
Yeah.
He goes, the order is messed up.
Yeah.
We're like, what is the order? Boy, girl, boy.
Yeah.
You're the only ones who could still do boy, because girl, boy.
Because we started with a boy.
Because we did it right. Yeah. And we're like, yeah, because your brother has two, your two girls.
You know there's a 50-50 chance here.
Yeah, right? So we tell them, we're like, okay, they have two girls. The other one had a girl. And we're like, okay, but how do we know we're going to have a boy?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you.
That was like, the most mortifying.
Are you going to put your zip up again? Yes. So he says.
I'm going to go hide inside my clothes
says,
right
he
now.
Then says, I can't remember. Do you remember?
Yes.
Was there a moon involved?
He goes, a woman's cycle is very predictable.
Yeah, yeah. He had a whole science. He stood up and pulled up a chart. Just jumped out of bed, unplugged like in the movies, tore off everything. He
pulled out that pointer.
Yeah, yeah. He unplugged all of his cables.
No, he didn't.
He pulled out a pointer.
No, but he did have a theory. His theory was that if you know when you're ovulating, and if you track your ovulation and you
like use 3 days
day
one, after?
Day three, day five, or like on the third day or on the fifth day.
Yeah, it had
day.
To be odd numbers.
Yeah. Like odd numbers.
There's a full moon
yield
involved.
This result and even numbers yield that result. So make sure you do. And he like
odd day. Yeah.
Pointed his finger at you. He said, don't touch her.
Don't touch her on the even days.
That was hilarious. It was mortifying.
Like he but he also had a positional theory.
Oh my God.
We won't share that. He shared it. It was very scientific. Make sure you're, I'll try to do it in a very, make sure you're both facing the moon was his, but he didn't say it that way.
Dead serious.
He was serious. Yeah.
Serious.
Look, on the 7th, outside, full moon, both of you looking same time. Do the needful. The family needs you.
It was crazy.
And then everyone outside, you're like, uncomfortable shuffles outside. We're like, hey, we're not doing it now. But if that would have guaranteed a son, he would have been like, now, both of you, go put on hospital gown.
No, I was all done. I'm good with two kids. Yeah, our family is complete.
You did not give him last.
Do you remember he kept saying, request. Promise me, yeah, promise
me. I was like, I can tell you.
Yeah.
We can try, but no matter all the things you're asking for, there's certain other forces in effect right now that are likely going to cause your wishes to not come true. And he's like, okay.
Keep trying.
We'll keep trying. I'm like, deal.
He kept holding my hand and saying, no, you must promise me. You must promise me.
Yeah, yeah. And she was like, Grandpa talking naughty.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The sad part of the story, goes through the surgery, survives the surgery, comes out the other side, and his willpower was like,
he told himself, pretty incredible. I'm getting
He's
better.
Like, I'm getting out of this. And it's funny, now in my life, I'm believing more and more in the power of the mind compared to when I was younger and ironically thought I knew more.
Yeah.
And he essentially knew that he was going to recover from the surgery. So he gets out of the surgery. Like, he wakes up, he's starting to recover, but he just wanted to go home.
Yeah. He was very much a man of routine. He liked his routine. Yeah. He loved his family. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had a purpose. Like, he would get up and go to work every day. He had his particular, like, shows that he liked to watch and foods that he enjoyed eating and conversations that he enjoyed having. And he really lived by that routine, that habitual life.
And then they broke his heart.
Mm-hmm. Because they told him that he couldn't go straight home and that he had to go
to a home,
like a
rehabilitation
rehab center. And that was going to be about
weeks.
Yeah, like months? 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that.
He didn't want to go to a nursing home where they would take care of all of his bodily needs and he would have to be on this recovery. And it didn't matter if you tried to explain to him, like,
it was
you can't walk now. Yeah. Like, your hip, it's not get up and go home.
Yeah.
And I can't remember now how quickly he deteriorated after that.
From the day that he realized that fact.
Yeah.
It's like a light switch went off.
He just decided,
I'm going from this place to my home, or I'm going from this place to my other home. Yeah.
And it was just like a crazy...
But he was like on the road to getting better. He came out of surgery and he got better.
And then did he get an infection? I can't remember even now what happened, but I do remember not feeling like anything happened that was not
in his will, his control. He definitely wanted to do things on his terms. And that's the way he lived his life. He wanted life to be on his terms.
But not in an arrogant it's the opposite.
Yeah, he was just very independent.
Yeah. And when they said, you're going to do this, he was sort of like,
nah.
I've lived a good life.
Yeah.
Everyone's settled.
Yeah.
I've seen my family grow. I've seen good. I've seen bad. I've done all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. And I remember my dad saying to me later, he said that I remember having this moment with my dad. And I said, it's okay. We're good.
Yeah.
And
we were good.
Yeah.
It's hard, but we were good.
Yep.
Like, it was a good end.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then we go home.
All this to tell you,
we go home and we are like just, packing up his things.
Yeah.
But again, in a somber but peaceful way. Yeah. It wasn't an angry, it wasn't, you're sad, but still appreciative and you're thinking of stories and all of this.
Yeah.
And we start pulling out, you like take the shirts, the pants, whatever, and you're starting to pack them up. And
we opened up one of his cupboards and there was like, he liked this perfume or this cologne.
Oh, liked. He consumed
it. He consumed it.
The company shut down after he passed. He was 17% of their sales. He had
this favorite smell. It was Fendi for men.
Yeah, Fendi. I'm sorry. No longer. This is why you've been wondering what happened. It's like a
particular fragrance from Fendi. Yeah. And he used to bathe in it. His shower, he would close his eyes. He would like purse his lips.
Shut his mouth also.
And he would like all over it. Himself. You could tell when he was the last one to use a phone.
It didn't matter. You could tell who used his phone last. You'd be like, oh yeah, your right side of your face smells.
It smelled like of the cologne. Like everything smelled
of the cologne. Seat belts, everything.
And when we opened, and every time anybody would go anywhere, he would say, can you just bring me back one bottle of cologne or three bottles of cologne? And so we would, wherever we could find it, and it became harder and harder to find it. And then when we were going through his stuff, there were like 17 bottles of his cologne, like stashed away.
Yeah, he just loved that cologne.
And so, he was hiding it from us.
Yeah. So we start putting his stuff away. And then obviously you get to the, at the end, you get to the more formal clothes that are in little like suitor bags and things like that. So we open it and it's suits and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you find these little belongings also, a brooch with an initial or a ring or, I don't know, like a tie bar, just these little
remember
things.
Remember we found cufflinks. That bag of, yeah, it was like cufflinks or buttons, like really, really nice buttons. Yeah, and I turned them into bracelets for all my brothers.
Yeah, yeah. So we were going through those things. And so it was nice. We like finished all of that.
Yeah.
I think your brother still has, or one of his rings, yeah. or like something that, yeah. you know, like nice mementos.
Yeah.
And then we get to the suits.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we grab the suits and we start going through the pockets, right? Yeah. You want to make sure there's nothing in them.
Yeah.
We pulled out, like, I think about $5,000 in cash in different currencies. I was expecting different passports to pop out at that point. It was like Jason Bourne moment. Just in every suit, boom. Oh, here's 600 euro. Next wallet. Oh, damn, he has 40,000 pesos here. And the next one, oh, cool, 50,000 rupees. Next one, USD, Canadian. It was like, I had an image of him just standing at the airport flashing tourists, being like, you know when they sell you watches, like with different currencies? So he had all this money. You're like, okay, things are getting interesting here. And then the pièce de résistance. We pull out a pearl-handled pistol. And I was like,
dead.
Jason Bourne. 100%. Pull up the floorboards. This man's passports are here. Yeah. For sure, there are passports. I wasn't even sure he had passed at that point. Someone's going to pop out from a room somewhere.
Wait, I wonder if this is what it feels like. Like when your family, like you have a member in the Secret Service or in the, like.
No, this is better. This is the long con. For 50 years, we didn't know he was doing this. He's just slithering himself up and sneaking out of the house. Like I thought there was a slide behind his bed. It's like the baby lotion just down to the basement. He has a car waiting. He's on missions.
It was crazy.
So I didn't know what was going on at that point. We're looking around. We asked your dad, like, hey, did you know? Like he's in the Secret Service. And he's like, no, I didn't know. I don't know. We're like, you knew. You must have known. He's like, no, I didn't know. I was like, I'll give you 50 pesos, 400 euro, and a dollar. In rubies
and a Japanese
and
passport.
A Japanese passport if you tell the truth. But we couldn't get it. We didn't break anyone.
No, he didn't.
So we don't know what to do. And we're like, okay, that was the last
thing
we found. And we're like, okay. The man's been walking around.
Yeah, and he's
every time we go to a Diwali party, he's packing heat. Like, why did he think he like, when would
when
he,
did he
pull
when did
this
he get
out?
This?
Yeah.
Because he's lived all over the world at this point.
We didn't know what
we
was going
no
on.
We have no idea where he collected this, what he was thinking.
Yeah. So we were freaking out now. We're like, there are stories.
He also had a ring that he used to wear on his pinky finger. Like, all of a sudden, everything
All of a sudden, it's like he has this ring. That ring probably has, like, micro something in it, like newspapers from like who actually committed heinous crimes. So we finished all of this and now we're like, oh, we knew there would be some stories, but what do you do when you find a gun? So we my best friend growing up is a police officer.
Also, side note, same best friend that we also helped us clean our vomit from the car last episode.
Yes. We went to his house. Also,
same guy who gave me the second place in Tetris.
Who claimed self-proclaimed number one Tetris player in the world.
Yes.
So I call up Peter and I say, hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
I need you to be discreet about this.
But hold on till the end before you freak out. He goes, what? And I say, what do I do if I found a weapon? And he's like, what do you mean? Like, what kind of weapon? Like, a pistol. He's like, you have a pistol? I go, yes, I'm holding a pearl-handled pistol. I feel like I'm in the game Clue right now. It was tiny.
Yeah.
It would, like, to give you, it was maybe 3 inches long by, like, 2 inches of a handle. It was like for a
big.
Children. No, it was small. You could fit it in the palm of your hand.
Okay.
I'm like, what do I do with this thing? He's like, why do you have a pistol? Is it loaded? I goes, I have no idea. Like, I don't know how to handle this thing. It's old. It doesn't look like what I see in the movies.
Yeah.
I already tried to do chick-chick at the top. I thought the thing would fall out the bottom, like in all the movies, but it didn't work. It did chick-chick, nothing happened. I can't even, there's no chick-chick. It's just a solid one piece.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, I'll take it. and then I'll take it to the station and we'll see what we can find.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And we're freaking out. Like, we don't know what,
yeah,
like, is does what kind of bullets does trouble? This take? Yeah, what do you do? Like, and he's like, no, it's not a big deal. And we said, okay, we felt comfortable. So we gave it to him.
Yeah.
So Peter takes the pistol back to the station. So in our defense, Peter took it. Okay, go ahead. And then what happened
Peter
at the end?
Peter calls you.
Yes.
Like a couple days later, yeah, and he says, you
Yeah.
It's a BB gun.
It's a BB gun. So he was walking around.
I look like such an idiot.
He's like, this is a very fancy BB gun that you have brought to me. And I'm like, look, why did you think her grandfather would actually have a pistol? You're a police officer. It was a test. You failed. He just didn't like squirrels at all. So every time he got all slid, he got all, like, you know, softened up, went to the park and took out a few squirrels.
I had never, ever heard
None of
him.
Us had ever heard or seen this thing.
We had never
thing.
Heard of him ever, like, making jokes about it, laughing no. about it, like... It never, no ever, ever came up.
No clue.
And he told never us so heard. Many stories.
No
he
clue.
He would continuously, over the last few years of his life, I remember having moments where he would tell me, and I would sit with him,
yeah,
these amazing stories about his life, about how he started working with this Lipton tea company, yeah, about how he moved to Gibraltar, about how he came and brought his whole family to Canada. I loved hearing
those stories.
Es por esto
que hablamos
es por
en español.
Sí, sí.
So there's a lot of stories, but yeah, none about his hatred for squirrels.
I can't imagine that he would ever have shot at anything. Or anyone.
Well, he was surely prepared to. Yes, we know that now.
Yes.
Did Peter ever give us back the BB gun at that point? Maybe Amit has it now.
I don't know.
We'll have to check all of his suit pockets next time we see him.
Can you imagine?
That would be amazing.
Maybe he just took all the pesos just, and the yen
of course
and the rubles
he should have. That's
and
the
he
move.
Put them in
and
his jacket
his suits,
pockets
yeah,
with the
that's
pistol.
The move.
Let that be like this weird legacy
thing
that
just
keeps
in your
happening.
Family. Just yes. pass it down. Yes. Your dad probably has the pistol now.
No, but if my dad has it, then
yeah,
it we'll to, find it and there's no
there's
like...
No, yeah, it has to be found by people that have no idea.
Of this story.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to go get a weapon and hide it in my clothing. I won't tell our kids. Just make sure they don't listen
a
to this
A fake weapon. Let's just be real.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
a fake weapon.
I want one of those that when you look so real, when you pull it, it says bang and a flank comes out. Gotcha, suckas. That's what I imagine.
Padam de shum.
Padam de shum. That's what I want. A gun that says padam de shum when you shoot it.
But with a flag.
With a flag.
And it pew. Should like, yeah, it should go pew.
Padam de shum.
That would be hilarious.
Imagine it was a lighter.
Oh,
you know,
I just like,
little
yeah.
lighters, but it was a BB gun. It was actually a,
like
a weapon
legit,
of sorts.
Yeah.
Okay, see, you had, you, I told you.
Yeah.
You come with a good impression.
Yeah.
You will get a good episode.
Yeah, well, let's hope that the people like this episode.
It's not about the people. We like the episode.
Yes, this is true.
People will enjoy it if you enjoy it.
That's true.
And with that, I have to go.
Okay.
Life's calling me.
All
What's
right.
a very airy song?
So one of my grandfather's favorite songs. जब कोई बात बिगड़ जाए जब कोई मुश्किल पर जाए तुम देना साथ मेरा ओ हम नवाज न कोई है न कोई था जिंदगी में तुम्हारे सिवा तुम देना साथ मेरा ओ हम नवाज